Well, greetings, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. If there's something you'd like to discuss, if you have a Bible question, give us a call, 844-322-2742. Again, that's 844-322-2742, and that's good in the U.S. and in Canada. Well, guys, it is Easter week, and Bob, I know you have something wonderful to share with our listeners today.
This is just the greatest week of the year as far as Christians are concerned. I mean, it is the week where the story that was promised and talked about for thousands of years, recorded in the Old Testament, became reality when Jesus came and did what his Father predicted that he would do, what his will was for you and me. It's just the greatest week, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus. And we want to spend this week just talking about that story because it is the story. And we have this opportunity to participate in the good news story by grace through faith in Jesus. And it is the most wonderful story that any of us could ever experience. And we get to be characters in that story. Yes. And it's just, wow, it's just so, so exciting. So this week we're going to spend the bulk of our time at the beginning of the broadcast looking at 1 Corinthians 15. And that's where the story is really laid out for us. And the impact of that story, the hope that we have, and what lies ahead for us in the future. So this today we're going to spend a few minutes just talking about the first 11 verses, and then we will get into the rest of the chapter during the week. So let's just dive into 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now, I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand. So not only did Paul preach this gospel, this good news story, the folks that he preached it to there in Corinth received it, and they took their stand on this gospel message. They staked their life on this very story that Paul brought to their ears. Now, and by which you are being saved. So it's the story of salvation. It's how we're saved. It's the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus that saves us. And so it says, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. Now, there's a lot of people that hear the story of Jesus, and it really just goes in one ear and out the other. They may respond to it initially with a sense of joy, but when they take themselves out there into the world, their world, they let go of it. Why? Because they never really had gripped it. It had never really come in and taken root in their hearts. And so they decided that the way of the world was much better for them. Yeah. So they believed in vain. They received it initially in vain. So here Paul goes on to say, for I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received. I love this phrase, first importance, don't you, Richard? I mean, it just really sets this message apart from anything else.
Yeah, there is nothing else. If we don't have this message, nothing else that we talk about in terms of Jesus or Christianity or how your life changes matters one bit. You know, it would be like, you know, it's of first importance that you have an airplane that flies if you're going to be up at 30,000 feet.
Yes.
Without that airplane that's flying, nothing else matters. You're going to die. Here, we've got humans who were dead, and Jesus shows up and says, here's the answer. That's of first importance. We get that right. Everything else right. falls into place.
And folks, this is where we got our word basic gospel. When we talk about basic, we're not talking about elementary things. We're talking about things of first importance, essential things. This is the truth that really matters to us and as far as our eternal salvation is concerned, but also as far as experiencing that eternal life here and now.
Yes.
So this is of first importance, and he received it. This was something that he didn't make up. This wasn't something that he, sat in a room just by himself and tried to figure all this out. No, he received this story. It was given to him by God. And here's the story, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. Mm-hmm. So all throughout the Old Testament, it was talked about that Christ would die for our sins. So this isn't something new. This was just a promise that was given that now the reality had happened,
yes,
that Christ actually did die for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. So all of that was prophesied. All of that was foretold time and time and time again in the Old Testament. And then Jesus came, and he died just like the Scripture said he would. He was buried just like the Scripture said he would. And he was raised to life just like the Scriptures said he would. And then it goes on from there. Not only did this happen, but he appeared to Cephas. That's Peter. Then to the 12. Those are the 12 disciples. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. So he's saying to these Corinthians that if you want to verify the story, there are people out there that mm-hmm. you can go talk to that saw Christ after he had been raised from the dead.
Yes.
So this isn't a fairy tale. This isn't something that's been made up. This has been witnessed by a number of people, a great number of people. They were eyewitnesses to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Then he appeared to James, and that's his half-brother,
mm-hmm.
and that's miraculous. James had a hatred for Jesus. He despised Jesus. He was jealous of Jesus. He encouraged Jesus to go to one of the feasts in Jerusalem because he knew that the Jews were plotting to kill him.
Yeah.
And so he wanted Jesus to walk right into their trap. So that was James, the half-brother of Jesus. And then Jesus appeared to him, and everything changed for James.
Yes.
And then it says, and last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me, for I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. So Jesus appeared to Paul. That happened on the road to Damascus, and then he revealed himself when Paul was out in the desert for that period of time, and Paul really understood the fullness of this message. So what is the story? Well, it is a story about a man named Jesus who came on the scene. He ministered to people. He healed people. He taught as one with authority like no one else that they had ever heard. And then he offered himself. He offered his body as a sacrifice. It was a once-for-all sacrifice. Then he was buried, and then he was raised back to life. And in this resurrected form, Jesus encounters us. He encountered over 500 back in his day before he ascended into heaven, including James and Paul. And now through the Holy Spirit today, he meets with us. It's such a personal story. And in that encounter, we are transformed.
Yes.
We see the plan of God clearly before us in Christ. And our hearts respond in faith, and we are raised to walk in the newness of life. And this is the story that Paul preached. And when he preached it, people believed it and received Jesus. And that story has been being proclaimed for over 2,000 years. And boy, are we privileged at Basic Gospel to tell that story each and every day.
Each and every day, and especially during this Easter week. And friends, we're now in the final week of March, which of course is Easter week, and we want to remind everyone that this is the time of month when the bills begin to come due, and as a listener-supported ministry, we need your support. We depend upon you to keep Basic Gospel in position to continue bringing the good news every day. Now, on top of that, we're seeing new opportunities open up to bring this message of love and forgiveness and life to new listeners, as we've seen in the Detroit area, in the California Bay area, and now in Atlanta. And as of right now, we have a wonderful $25,000 matching gift on the table. And, Bob, we all understand what a matching gift is, but is there something about this particular gift that has meaning for you?
Well, it really does. This matching gift is helping us broadcast in Atlanta on a brand-new station, WDWD, and I had the privilege of meeting all of the personnel there, the station manager and program director, and actually to broadcast the program last Thursday from their studio. So we're excited. That's my old stomping ground. That's where I grew up, outside of Atlanta in Marietta, Georgia. My family, a lot of my family is still there, my mom and a couple of sisters and aunts and cousins and all of that. So I'm thrilled to be in Atlanta. But I think this is just the first of many opportunities that are going to come our way to expand into new cities. I mean, we have opportunities to go into Chicago, to go into Pittsburgh, to go into Indianapolis, to go into a number of cities around the country. And this $25,000 matching gift not only is going to help us get into Atlanta, but I hope will open some doors into these other cities. So this opportunity is here. You have a chance to double your impact. So your gift of $100 or $250 or $500 today will be matched dollar for dollar up to $25,000. And that will help fund Atlanta. And like I said, hopefully we'll knock down some new doors of opportunity that we can walk through and tell this story, this life-transforming story of Jesus Christ, as often as we can and as many people as we can.
But of course, friends, none of this happens without the loving support of those of you listening and supporting Basic Gospel. This Easter week is a perfect example and reminder of the love that's been poured out on each of us by Jesus Christ our Lord. Please let us hear from you this week and help keep the love of God coming here on Basic Gospel. Click donate at basicgospel.net or call 844-322-2742 with your gift. Again, 844-322-2742 or donate online at basicgospel.net. Well, guys, a call that came in during off hours. Let's listen right now.
Yes, there is the word rapture. There's no word like that in the Bible, nowhere in the Bible. But we have a lot of preachers that are teaching that word, saying that people are going to be raptured up. 2 Thessalonians, I believe, chapter 14, between 14 and 16. But the problem with that is, and 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 55, the Lord says that in the twinkling of an eye, we will be changed. And what my question is why are these people preaching rapture when that's the Kenites, sons of Cain? I know you guys know. And what can we do to start letting people know it's a false teaching?
Well, interesting question, isn't it?
Yeah.
Now, as far as the word rapture is concerned, it is not in the Word of God. It is a word that was translated, a Greek word that was translated into Latin, a Latin word raptura, and it means to be caught up. And that's what's rendered in 1 Thessalonians 4:17. It says, then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. So there are those who have fallen asleep in Christ. They're already absent from the body and present with the Lord. And when the Lord comes back, they're going to be with him and going to be revealed with him. And then we who are still alive when that happens, we're going to be caught up together with them so that we will all be together with the Lord. So what is debated these days is the point that that's going to happen. So we have all these different theologies about when we're going to be caught up together with the Lord. Now, he is correct for those who are still alive. We're going to be changed.
Yes.
That means we're going to put on our resurrected bodies. We're going to put on the imperishable, then the immortal. And then we're going to rise up and we're going to be with the Lord forever. And then we're all going to come down as one and take up our residence in the New Jerusalem. And God is going to be at the center. That's going to be his dwelling place. In us, we're that New Jerusalem. And that's all fulfilled in Revelation at the very end of the book. So those of us who are here, we're going to be caught up. We're going to be caught up with the Lord. Now, is that before the tribulation? Is that after? I think when you read the Word of God, you realize that it's actually at his second coming, that all of that is one singular event. We are going to be raptured out of here. We are going to be caught up with the Lord, and that's good news, and that's the hope of the gospel, isn't it, Richard?
Yeah. I love this word caught up because Jesus himself used it. He used it in John 10 when he said, "No one can snatch you out of my hand, and no one can snatch you out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one." So in the one case, Jesus is saying there is no way for Satan or anyone else in all of the universe to take you away from me, to violently take you away. But here, Paul uses it and says there is no one in the universe who can prevent Jesus from showing up and violently taking us away from them. Jesus is going to save us. I like to think of this as SEAL Team 6. You know, if you're a hostage, the word you want to hear is SEAL Team 6, because they're coming to get you, and no one can stop them. No one's going to stop Jesus when he comes to get us.
Yeah. So we hope that helps and clarifies any confusion on that great subject. We know the Lord is coming back.
He's coming.
We know we're going to be with him forever, and that is the great news of the gospel. I had an interesting question that came in over our YouTube live stream. It's from Julie, and she writes this: "Is there any value in fasting today? Do we still fast under the new covenant?" It's an interesting question, isn't it?
Yeah. The answer is there's nothing in the new covenant that says you should fast. If there is some aspect of your life that you need particular focus on, and fasting might help you do that, then go ahead. But the way Jesus puts it and Paul puts it is, don't let people know. This isn't something you advertise. You don't walk around with a long face. You're just paying attention to God and letting him, through the Spirit, communicate to you in a way that maybe you couldn't get otherwise because you were so caught up in whatever was going on. You were too busy or whatever. It's just a way to focus. And it's not supposed to be for days and days and days. It's just you and the Spirit are communing together in a way that is unique to you and the Spirit.
Yeah. We have to realize that we have been given every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus, that we have everything that we need for life and godliness. So fasting isn't going to bring more of that to our table. We have it all in abundance right there before us and in us in the person of Christ Jesus. And fasting in the Old Testament, Isaiah 58 is a perfect example. The prophet is actually chastising the people for their abuse of that practice. Yeah. And they were doing it to enhance themselves. And fasting in the Old Testament is when you got so engrossed in the needs of others that you forgot about yourself.
Yes.
And that's the kind of fasting that God honored in the Old Testament, is when your mind was focused on the Lord and on others, just as the Bible says that we're to love God, we're to love others. Where fasting was that expression of it in the fact that I've forgotten about myself and I'm so engaged in meeting the needs of others that I'm receiving an incredible blessing for that. So I think if we take that pattern as if you want to choose to fast, I mean, that's your prerogative. You're free to do that. There's reasons for that. But don't let those reasons be because I want a spiritual blessing. You've been given every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus.
Absolutely. Well, that's the good news that you hear every day here on Basic Gospel, everybody. Of course, as Bob said, Julie posed her question on our YouTube channel. You can do that if you have a question and can't get to us while we're on the air live or by the phone number. You can also use our Facebook channel, or you can do as Gary from California did and call 844-322-2742 anytime, day or night. 844-322-2742. Let's listen to Gary's call right now.
My name's Gary from California. I want to ask a question about a different angle. I'm a Catholic. I mean, I go to Catholic Mass. I'm a Christian. But one thing that bothers me about the Protestant church is just anything goes. I mean, I'll visit one church. We're going to do a study on Romans for a year and a half. We're going to another church. They could be near Christmas. They could be in Leviticus. I don't understand. In the Catholic church, we present the gospel of the Lord every day, the Mass, every day. That's the highlight. And who is to say that you could just do anything, preach on anything that you want out of the letters of Paul, just anything? I don't understand that. I really don't. I mean, where do you get that you could always just, I'm just going to preach this Sunday. You got all the, you know, whether it's the baptism, all over. That's the question I have. I think that you could be, you know, that faction of the church is not under the direction of the Holy Spirit a lot of the times. Not every time, but a lot of the time. So I just want to, that's my question.
Well, Gary, thank you so much for asking that. We certainly appreciate your questioning, your inquiry on that as far as Protestant teaching and those sort of things. And there is a freedom there. You know, the Catholic Church, and there are other Protestant churches that kind of follow this pattern. They have a rhythm, a yearly rhythm. So at the beginning of the year, they teach certain things that lead up to the celebration of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Following that, they have certain things, certain passages that they teach that lead up to the Pentecost and then the giving of the Holy Spirit. And so they just pattern their teaching and their liturgy and everything about each Sunday service or Sunday Mass after what's really going on in the yearly calendar. Yeah. As far as the story is concerned. And there's something comforting about that, that the story never changes. And regardless of what's going on in our lives, the ever-changing circumstances of our lives, we're going to hear a constant at the church. So those who kind of hold the liturgy and follow that year in and year out, that's what they're trying to communicate. But as far as teaching being inspired or led by the Holy Spirit, if someone chooses, say a Protestant pastor chooses to go through the book of Romans, well, under the inspiration, the guidance of the Holy Spirit, each message is going to be a message that lifts up the person and work of Jesus Christ. Yes. So in essence, there's a retelling of the story. Mm-hmm. With every single passage in the scripture. And I think that's important for us to know. This word of God is not helter-skelter. It's not just a bunch of random thoughts put together. It is one consistent story about the person and work of Jesus Christ. So anywhere in the word of God from Genesis to Revelation, you're going to pick a passage, or you can pick a passage and tell the story of Jesus.
Yes.
And if Protestant pastors or any pastor or any minister of the gospel is worth their salt, every time they teach, every time they open up the word of God, they're going to tell the story of Jesus. So that when someone leaves, they're not thinking about the pastor, they're not thinking about themselves, they're thinking about the glorious wonders and the incredible grace that has been bestowed upon them in the person and work of Jesus Christ.
That is just such good news, Bob. Thank you and Richard for sharing this every day here at Basic Gospel. And remember, friends, that this is a listener-supported program, and, you know, you can help right now in a big and important way by doubling your gift. We have a $25,000 matching gift offer, and every dollar that you give will be doubled And so that's a wonderful opportunity to help spread this good news of the Lord Jesus Christ every day on Basic Gospel. Please take advantage of it. Click donate at basicgospel.net or phone your gift to 844-322-2742. And to say thanks for your support this month, and especially during this final Easter week, we'll send you our CD series called The Resurrection, Power for Daily Living. Well, that's it for today. We'll see you tomorrow for another edition of Basic Gospel. Bye-bye.